Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
All right, Cindy, so I'm going to give you a little quiz on Italy.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
So
you know how I like a quiz.
I know. You love me putting you on the spot. So 20 years ago, 10 years ago, what did you think when you thought of Italy right away and traveling to Italy and Italian food, Italian wine? What were the first things that popped into your brain?
I probably thought of Chianti and, pasta with tomato sauce, and the hopes that I would get to eat some regional cooking and learn a whole lot more about Italian cooking than that. So that's what I would have thought about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Not 10 years ago, but 20. Yes.
Yeah, I think the evolution of perception in our culture. I mean, we've been students of it for it seems like as it's been growing in the last decade, especially understanding of that Italy is not just Chianti and some kind of spaghetti with tomato sauce, right?
So, right. I think the biggest shock for me was when we went to the northern part of Italy, and I realized how at home I felt because the food is, so Austrian influenced. So,
well, yeah, when you go to the Dolomites,
oh my goodness, that was a great surprise for me because I love all the cooking of Italy. There's no question. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful country and beautiful cooking, but northern Italy, yeah, I love that food.
We spent time researching that, especially 7, 8, 9 years ago. And the thing that I always end up telling people when starting to train people, Italy speaks 7 languages every day. Italy is 100 years younger than the U.S. And, that which tells you just how regional, and how different and diverse the cultures are. And when you realize the entire nation is separated by mountains.
For sure.
And surrounded by the sea.
And makes for such an amazing landscape because you can see the mountain, you can see the sea and the mountains in the same town. It's just amazing.
So without the transportation of the last, 100 years, 50 years especially, there are an awful lot of people that would live and die in the same village.
Sure.
Or maybe travel to the next one or, take a train to Rome one time in their lives or something like that. So the regional strength and the culture, the base note in the culture is really, really strong.
Yeah, it is amazing how it still seems strongly rooted that way as well, which is so wonderful.
Well, there's pride in that.
Yes, indeed, and there should be. It's such a treat to go to a place and really feel like you are experiencing something that had been done for hundreds or many hundreds of years, passed from generation to generation.
So today we wanted to talk about, because we're back from the south of Italy, and we wanted to talk about the exciting things we learned, and we set up an itinerary in advance with the goals being educational through a bunch of regions you don't often see, beginning in Lazio, south of Rome, heading into Campania, into Calabria, both sides of Calabria.
Which was amazing.
And,
That was really fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And then the big islands, Sicily and Sardinia.
And 2 ferries.
And
that,
one very short
forward.
And one very long ferry.
I was really looking forward to that part of the trip. That was very cool to get to go, particularly on the overnight ferry. But yeah, let's start at the beginning of that trip.
So it's funny, you people, when they travel to Italy, often you hear immediately the cities they're going to visit. They're going to visit Venice. They're going to visit Florence. They're going to visit Rome. Once in a while, you hear they're going to visit Naples. But when you fly into Rome, if you head south immediately, you're in the countryside in Lazio. And you would never think that you're anywhere near one of the great cities of the world when you hit the countryside there.
Yeah, I was surprised, actually. When I woke up on the airplane, I opened my blind, and the mountains were out there. I mean, and shortly after that, we touched down. It really is in the middle of the country. It's beautiful. It's great to fly in there.
Well, yeah, you're flying over the sea as well, which is kind of a...
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool. And if the day is clear, you can see the Colosseum when you're coming down and all that kind of business. And that's pretty darn interesting.
Beautiful flight.
So in Lazio for us, first stop was in Olivano Romano to visit a little tiny, when I say tiny, I mean tiny wine grower.
Really small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damiano Cioli.
Oh, I loved his wines.
And it's, again, you hear Chianti, but I mean, there are 330 varietals you see all over Italy that are grown in pretty good quantities. And what did you think of the wine that Cioli produces?
I loved it. I thought it just was, really beautiful. It had so much depth. It was so interesting. It was rich. It was just, It was so, and I could feel the family in the wine, you know, and I suppose we were surrounded by the family while we were tasting, well, which was such a special experience. It was one of my favorite. There are the two tastings on the trip, and this was my favorite, and perhaps the weather outside and being in the mountains and sitting in that little tasting room. But I really thought their wines were amazing.
There's a vibrancy to what they produce. And so when we flew into to Rome and drove into Lazio, what did you think of the first stop?
It was one of my favorites. We were in the mountains. I think there were three or four different storm systems coming in over the mountains, yet the sun was shining, and it eventually started to rain while we were sitting there tasting. But to be there with the winemaker, and I guess that was his cousin and his mother, and here we are in this little tasting room. There's a fire. Yeah, needed to be.
I was going to say Damiano Cioli is the name of the producer, and he produces really vibrant red wines. Mm. And it was his mom, and it was his cousin. And
what did you think of the wines?
The wines that they produce have a very blue fruit character. There's a very particularly, you know, Italian wine. The perception of Italian wine is that, oh, it's going to be, you know, sharp, I think, sometimes, or it's going to be all it's all super super full bodied, or it's. People think Amarone, which is almost a little sweet, mm-hmm. or they'll think Chianti, which is super variable in quality. Sure. This is something that's built like Chianti, but it's something that's much more blue fruit than not that sweet red leathery fruit that you see in Sangiovese. And the cooking, I mean, they did just regional cooking from Lazio, but it's Lazio on the road to Campania in the hills there, mm. in Olivano Romano. Beautiful stuff, and we've been using the wines for a couple of years and have never visited the grower, and have this tiny little cellar, and they have a little kitchen where mom cooks.
Mm-hmm.
You were crazy happy.
Oh, it was just such
a meal,
treat.
Were you not?
Well, yeah, absolutely. How could you not be? I mean, we basically tasted while we ate lunch, which is always, it's so nice to combine the two. It's a little bit easier for me to taste when I'm getting a little bit of food at the same time. You know, to have her cooking right there in the same room with us was so exciting. She'd made her own pasta, of course, and was already roasting the lamb in the oven and the potatoes, which were some of the best potatoes I've ever eaten in my whole life. And
The crew were pretty happy about those potatoes. That was pretty funny.
The potatoes were just, I mean, I almost wished I could just sit and eat a bowl of the potatoes. They were so amazing. And they had all the fat from the lamb roasted in them. And there was rosemary in there and who knows what else, maybe sea salt. But oh my goodness, they were so good.
Julian had asked me, you know, to like, so what does she do with these potatoes? And I asked, you know, and I asked her in Italian, so well, they came right from the ground. I cut them, I salted them, I cooked them in oil and rosemary in the last 5 minutes.
There you go. Oh,
that's
were
it.
just
the simplest
the lamb
thing
was,
in the world.
The lamb was amazing, and
the fact
was,
that they just come
the
out of the ground.
Lamb. Right.
That's the whole thing.
Couldn't we all have those? And then the pasta was very simple with just a very light, beautiful tomato sauce that you know she probably made, you know, last summer and put up, and a little bit of cheese, and it was just, and the pasta was a little thick, and it was just.
There's real texture. You could feel the grain. It wasn't part of the thing about pasta being al dente. It's when you make it fresh. If you cook it too long, it just falls to pieces. Mm-hmm. It falls apart.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
you have to be able to feel the grain and the bite
and the semolina. You know, and I think just having the pasta made with her flour and the semolina from her region, most likely. Oh my goodness, it was just really fantastic. But you know, it started to rain while we were sitting there. The dog is in the doorway. You're looking out the open doorway of this little room, and the mountains are out there, and it's just. It couldn't have been more perfect. It was beautiful, and the wines were really very, very great to taste.
It's a good good lesson in the functionality of Italian wine, because that's one of those things that if the wine does not refresh the course, you don't want more food.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know? And if the course is if there's not a balance between the two, and it's not literally like this is a giant thing and this is a giant thing. When I say function, I mean the acidity of that red and the intensity of the red is what actually cuts the fat of the lamb. And if the lamb is seasoned appropriately with salt, you know the freshness of the acidity actually they engage with each other.
Yeah, it was great, good tasting. And he's a very small producer, right?
Teeny tiny. Yeah,
I mean
that's you're talking about. I think maybe 10% of what he produces comes to the U.S. 80% of what he produces is consumed in Lazio, right in the region.
Okay.
And 10% goes to restaurants around a few other places around Italy. But
That was a treat to be there. We had a pretty cool dinner that night too. We stayed in the hotel Grand Vesuvio in Naples.
It's funny. Naples has such a funny reputation to travel to.
Wow.
And people think they think crime and they think pizza, right?
Okay. Well, think Grand Vesuvio. Think
the waterfront. Yeah.
And the,
super interesting, and the road, still working waterfront.
Right. And the road in front of it was completely free of traffic. And it was like four lanes. So people were walking along the water, free of, you know, no worries. It was lovely. And then we had dinner up on the rooftop terrace and with the view of the fort there and the
looking
waterways.
Over the city and the Bay of Naples. And,
oh, my goodness. Yeah. That was lovely. Lovely, lovely.
So I think one of the fun things was that the wine list in that particular restaurant had this huge offering of whites from the south of Italy.
Okay.
And so many people, if the one thing you might hear that they know at all about the whites of the south of Italy is the grape Greco. Mm-hmm. But there was an offering of probably 80 different whites from the south.
That's great.
You know, all pretty much current vintage, all the different grape producers. All producers, half of the list are not exported from Italy. And you know, we had a chance to have a tasting with a bunch of different whites from Campania, and which is the region where Naples is the center of it. And
the tasting was excellent. That was really interesting.
The Fiano that we had, Fiano is the grape, I would say, that if it's the one grape from the south for whites that probably most age-worthy, most interesting to actually age in oak a little bit. And if there is a thing that maybe functions a little bit like a Chablis or a Chardonnay in a white Burgundian style from the south, if you want that kind of thing, for shellfish especially.
So the Fiano.
So look for Fiano as a grape that's produced.
Very good. Yeah, that was great.
So then on the road again, and it's funny when folks go on these trips, they never realize exactly how many mountain roads they're going to have to sort of suffer through in the travel van, yeah.
It was a pretty windy trip. There was a lot of windiness. The people in the back seat were probably, it's a good thing they had strong stomachs.
Yeah, almost 3,000 kilometers of mostly mountain roads up and down.
That was a lot of driving.
But up into the hills of Campania to the famous red zone, Irpinia. Mm-hmm. And Tarozzi is the most famous red. And we went to this tiny little grower, and I should not even give the name because you'll never see the wines. The guy's name is Luigi Tecci.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever met a wine grower who is more of like a idiosyncratic artist than this guy?
No, he was really amazing. His labels spoke to you. He had a story behind the label. Everything means so much to him. The name of the wine means so much. We listened to crazy music while we were sitting there. I mean, it was a great experience.
Again, a tiny producer.
Yeah, very small.
Super, super high quality. I think he probably is the single best grower in that Tarozzi zone.
Mm.
And I've had a chance to visit over the years a lot of the really terrific producers of that big, powerful red grape, Aglianico, that is famous with that zone. It's been there a little over 3,000 years.
Wow, yeah.
And Aglianico obviously came from the Greeks, Aglianico, Hellenic.
Mm-hmm.
And big, robust stuff, almost piney in its aromatics, not even rosemary, but almost piney, and big, black-fruited, deeply spicy, but super rich stuff. And he gave us a chance to taste many, many vintages of it. And I would say if you can find 2009 anywhere in the U.S., that's something you want to jump all over.
Luigi Tecci.
And one of the cool things, didn't you get a kick out of seeing the lady who's making
goodness.
The tomato sauce?
We turned a corner in his working area, and there were four women sitting at a square table. It was basically a cutting board table, and they had tons of tomatoes that they were cutting to make sauce. And they were sitting in the sun.
About 200 pounds of tomatoes.
Oh my goodness. Crates of tomatoes. And they were just cutting away, these four ladies. What a treat to see that. That was fantastic. And they had a huge tub with what they'd already cut, and you could see the juice forming in the tub, and they'd probably already salted it. Oh my goodness. That was very cool.
When we come back on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine, we'll be headed south into Calabria.